seated, and unless the board specifically votes to an executive session, you have the right to hear everything that is being said for all the exhibits that are offered. If the board votes to an executive session, the reason for the same shall be stated. Please notify the chairman if you have any difficulty seeing or hearing. This meeting is being recorded. In each instance, the burden is upon the applicant to demonstrate compliance with the provisions of the applicable ordinance or ordinances. After the board votes on the merits of each project, it will prepare a written opinion, which will be forwarded within 7 days. The board works for a prepared agenda and will be considering tonight's items in the following order. Evolution Site Services, Map 4, Lot 43-5. Do I want to get the wrong one? Merry Morning LLC, proposed professional offices at 8382 Goodman's Mills Road, Map Tax, Map Lot 11, Lot 122. Jason Bollier, Bollier Logging LLC, Map 7, Lot 103 and 107. And Alfred Road Lyman, application for wood recycling yard for brush trees, stumps, and making mulch. Election review, pending site plan reviews, old business and mail, and new business. Okay, you want to come down front? You're more than welcome to. Does anyone on the board have any questions or comments?
Actually, during conversations with people or comments from the public comments, and in prior, there's been a lot of comments and concern about a traffic study, which just came to mind with the proposed business. We're not foreseeing an issue. However, it's a secondary use that is proposed to carry on with the building and the land, which is the ball game. The citizens concerned about potential traffic hazard created prior to, during, and after a ball game at the field. Because obviously you're going to have more traffic coming in and out for the ball game than we would during the day for the business. Just, I know it's happened before, there's been games here years in the past, but I keep hearing traffic study. So I just want to...
It's no worse than when they have the churches when they let out and they're being held.
I'm just looking out for the voters of the taxpayers of the city.
And you have Briarwood, there's a lot of traffic that goes in and out of there. And the 35 miles an hour, you might as well shoot that out the window.
It's 25.
It's
in front of my house anyway.
Okay, so as far as the traffic study goes,
they go by
I feel the same way. You've got a church here that's full.
You got daycare, you got everything
you
there.
You got daycare, you got a store down the street. I mean, it's a major road.
Yep.
It's a state road.
It is.
I mean, I don't feel it's going to change traffic.
Neither do I. I just wanted it noted and addressed.
I don't know what the rest of the board feels.
No, there's traffic from the oil company, too. Their trucks going in and out. So
I don't see where this project is going to significantly increase the traffic in that area.
No.
I don't think there's a need for a requirement for any kind of for this applicant to do a traffic study, because I don't see where this applicant is going to be. Although you do own you'll be owning the ball field, that's been an existing use for quite a long time. I don't see any need or responsibility to conduct a traffic study.
Yeah, that's seasonal also.
Yes, it is.
So it's not like it's a consistent traffic
burden. Just for the record.
Yeah. Thank you. We agree. I wish Caleb could be here. He's at a planning board meeting in Freeport tonight. So.
Okay. I'm all set.
Joe?
Mr. Paul mentioned in the definition of public offices, limited goods and merchandise sold. And you'd mentioned that there may be some art sales from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
Could you give us some indication as to the frequency, how many occasions there would be in the course of, say, a year, a month, that there may be some sales there?
Well, ideally, I would like to have some sort of outdoor art sale, fair, in the summer. I don't know if that's going to ever come to fruition. I'm pitching it to the Maine Crafts Association. Like I said, I'm involved with the board there. But that's not, you know, that may not happen.
Maybe a single annual event?
Yeah, it'd be fun to have like a nice big one in the summer, and then, but you know, I'd like to have art shows and bring the public in, and I don't know how often I would honestly be able to organize that. I used to own a gallery, and doing it monthly was a real lift. So, I mean, ideally I would like no, you know, maximum put on, and, but let's be realistic, like how much do we think it's going to be? Like maybe once a month would be, at my best guess, the absolute max. And, but I wouldn't necessarily want to have a limit to it, but I'd also, like I said before, it's not going to be a retail environment. We're not, I don't want people coming in off the street. I don't want to have that overhead of managing that kind of thing. And I know part of having a space is just being able to go and make, you know, and then you market it on at shows or you put it online or something like that.
But you do sell out at your art shows.
You do. I mean, ideally, you know.
Well,
yeah. You like some of them. I mean, sometimes the high-end stuff, it's more like you show people what you can make and then they call you for commissions. So, you know, you get a mix, a little bit of a mix. But I don't know. I can't directly answer that. We don't have like a business plan. We just know we're going in, we're going to start making stuff, and we'd like it to take on its own life and its own feeling and develop over time. But I'm in charge. I'm not going to be able to organize much. So, just in terms of time management.
The problem I see with that definition, it says limited, and limited might mean something different to you than it does to me.
Yeah, I get that.
And I think you have to set a number.
That's true,
And I'm thinking maybe two a month. I mean, say you're going to do one. If you want to have two in 1 month, I mean.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, limited could refer to a quantity, or I think where we're going with this is a frequency.
Frequency.
Right,
yeah.
Something like that.
Correct, girl.
But in the summer, like, say I wanted to have an art show and an outdoor art sale, and they had nothing to do with one another. Like, say we're going to have a studio tour. People could come through. You typically set up, like, a tour where everybody picks a night where we're willing to let people come into the studios and take a walk through. So you do a studio tour, maybe that's not really an art sale, but it's some sort of event. And then maybe you have, in the same month, a big craft fair or something. But then it's sleepy January, February,
right.
You know, March, April.
I'm just trying to find a compromise.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I understand. I'm just trying to think about it, like, practically.
I mean, I know in the winter you're not going to do much, but maybe be set a certain amount of things a year.
Yeah.
Set a monthly. I don't know.
Yeah. Do we have to decide that right now?
Have we ever put a limit on events? I mean, I know.
It's almost like an event.
Funky Bow is, but that's a contract zone.
Right.
I mean,
right.
They have all kinds of events.
What about
right.
the church? Is that a contract zone? Are they allowed to have like a certain number of events?
Churches are allowed.
They're in a different thing.
Yeah. But they have so many masses a week and stuff like that. So,
right.
Yeah.
And events.
Yeah.
I don't know whether.
See, with this is offices and it has that limited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, I think numbers would be the best number.
I think so, too. But
it's like, but a max.
How many events you think you're going to have?
In a year.
Yeah.
And just kind of like round.
Myself personally,
like,
I think that's what we need.
So well, if you said like two
a year. How many events you have in a year?
Oh, a year.
Yeah.
I suggested 2 a month. It should be
so
24 a year.
24 a year is fine. We're never going to hit that. That's fine. If we needed to, we could come back and talk.
I was going to say, that's talking about you. Now we could look at total of about 13 potential occupants.
Mm-hmm.
What if each one wants two a month?
No.
That's you're going to have to work on
no.
total for the
yeah.
building.
We're talking, yeah. We're, yeah. We would be doing it as a community
yeah.
is the way I'm looking at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't want somebody doing, it's just not yeah. the not
if
the
I
plan.
Remember correctly, at the site walk, there was casual talk about having, in conjunction with the artists have like a community day or arts festival, Lime and Old Home Days,
mm-hmm.
Possibly like food vendors, food
mm-hmm.
trucks, working with the ball field just to build a sense of community.
Mm-hmm.
Still thinking along those lines? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want to have all that limited. You know, like what if I want to come down on, like we were, Caleb and I were talking about, we have 6 kids and lots of relatives. We were like, wouldn't it be fun on Tuesdays if we came down and played kickball? Like, does that count as a gathering? I wouldn't want it to. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you should see my family. It's gigantic. We're so excited to have a place to go play. I don't want to, like, but that's not an art sale, is it? You know what
no.
I mean?
No,
it's not
no,
like a gathering.
To me, that would be just a family event.
Right.
And so, you own the property, and you should be allowed to do that.
That's what I'm saying.
Counted it as an event.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't make know. A motion that we
yeah.
We put a...
Just put a number.
A restriction of 24 events per year to be held at...
To be held to the public.
Open to the public at this property.
With the idea that it's the sales and stuff like that.
And, right.
Right.
With the caveat, if they need to expand it, they come back.
Yeah, we'll talk yes. to you guys.
That's my motion.
Well, I'll second that. Is there any discussion on it?
It's like 24, ballpark at 2 a month. You know, granted,
yeah, sure.
Winter is what it is.
Mm-hmm. You could have 24 in a row, Joe.
Yeah.
That would be
hopefully not
terrible.
I don't think the community would be
degree
of frequency.
No.
Yeah.
But it may be the kind of thing that they're the that they're so low that people might not even notice them. It's like, you know, I think we're all thinking worst case scenario. Worst meaning, you know, it's like a carnival or something. But
Like lasting several days, like an
event.
Well,
I'm just saying, maybe people in their mind are thinking like this event would be gigantic. It's probably going to be barely noticeable.
Mm-hmm. Depends on the quality of the art.
That's right. Fingers crossed.
What do you think? I'm sorry, just throwing it out there. For phase one, maybe 12. Once phase two goes into place, then maybe increase to 24.
Well, I think we're going to hit. I think phase one and phase two are succinct. I don't think they're going to like. We're going to, phase one is like right now, we're in it, we're putting some drywall up, you know, we're not doing anything, trying to get our subs teed up to get the systems going, but as soon as I can get people to rent the spaces, like we're in it, so it's kind of, I think we're going to be at that phase two like almost instantly.
Okay, any more discussion on Dawn's motion? All in favor of allowing 24 events a year?
Aye.
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 Okay. Anything else? I know Mr. Hall talked about the number of offices in the building, but I personally don't see a problem with the number that they have. But I don't know. How you? Everybody else feels about it? Like,
no, I don't have a problem with the amount that she asked for.
I don't think we have a restriction in the ordinance on
no,
the professional offices.
And there's not a size restriction
on
them.
How many in a building, and or the size?
Do we have enough parking spots?
The restriction would be what type of business you're renting to. Whether that would be allowed.
You know, it's defined. Well, it's not very well defined, really. Professional offices. I mean, it's sort of
it's vague.
Open, it's vague, but
right.
I think it's a good use for the project. I don't see. I mean, for the land, it's not. I don't see it as being intrusive on the neighborhood. Of course, I mean, I live a little bit away from there, but not too far. I think it's less intrusive than some other activities that go on Route 35. But I don't see any need for further restrictions. Somebody else does.
Does the septic system have a restriction on how much? In other words, if you do have other offices in there, how that's going to increase?
According to Mr. Frick, there's enough septic there.
For
15
for the maximum.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
It should be. There's a septic design included in that.
It is in there.
It should be.
Yeah.
Fine.
It is in there.
It's just been shut down. So I have trying to get an inspector to come in and tell me if it's working. If not, we'll just replace it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
What are the proposed hours that it will be open?
I don't think it will be open. It'll be people will be in their studios, and some people like to work late, and some people like to get up early. But you know, you could have some people who work, you know, 8 to midnight, and then you know, with their kids during the day, and they like to have to go have their studio at night. I don't think we're gonna have like posted hours, working hours. I'll probably, you know, I'll be in there. Caleb and I are trying to come up with our own personal schedules, probably being there like Tuesday nights and on weekends.
Any other questions or comments? We'll go through the 16 standards.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Number one, we'll meet definitions of the use, the zoning district requirements, and any other requirements set forth this ordinance. This is allowed in that district. So I'm going to make a motion that the applicant meets number one.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor, the applicant meets one?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Two, will not have a significant detrimental effect on the use and peaceful enjoyment of the abutting properties as a result of noise, vibration, fumes, odor, dust, light, glare, traffic, or other cause.
Yeah, they show one light, I think, one new light.
No, no change.
Same lighting as before.
Well, they show a light on the app, but yeah. I can't remember.
You showed a double floodlight or something.
Whatever
I'm
the architect
one
is
lamp
that.
On telephone pole.
Yeah, and a lamp on a telephone pole, but no other significant.
It's just
lighting.
What's there. We have no plan to change.
And the traffic we already discussed. Mm-hmm. Make a motion that the applicant meets the requirements of standard number two.
I'll second that.
Any more discussion on standard number two? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Three, will not have a significant adverse effect on adjacent or nearby property values. Well, it shouldn't. They seem to be fixing it up and doing work to improve it.
No.
I think it's better than having it sitting vacant.
Absolutely.
And that's a study or something would have to come to us in order for us to say that it would have an effect. So
I will make a motion. The applicant meets number three.
Second.
Any more discussion on three? All in favor, the applicant meets three?
Aye.
Aye.
Four, will not create a hazard to pedestrian or vehicle traffic or significant traffic congestion. And again, nothing's changing over there. They're going to be using the same curb cut and driveway that they had. And they used to bring buses in and out of there quite frequently.
Yeah, I would say that the traffic will decrease compared to what the building was intended for, which was cool.
Yes.
So we did have more traffic, so. I think the applicant meets condition number four. I make a motion that
the applicant meets that. Condition. Any more discussion on number four? All in favor of the applicant meets number four?
Aye.
Five, will not result in fire danger. Now, the only thing I see there that doesn't look good for fire danger is that pile of stumps.
Yeah, we didn't put them there.
Well,
I know we're
that.
Working
on. You now own them?
I know.
I know.
No, we have contracts out right now for bid to get them hauled and chipped and removed. So that is part of our plan.
Caleb, is not the subject to inspection by the fire department? Bring kilns in there for the ceramics.
Yeah, we have, there is a sprinkler system, and there is a security alarm system which is attached to the smokes. So
when they go to do that, Joe, the code enforcement officer should be contacting them to go over and inspect it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Over the
because of the
officers.
For occupancy,
right.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're not using the only other fire hazard I could see possibly if you were using solvents or something in your painting.
Yeah,
or,
I mean, that's
like
possible.
Some of those.
Sure. Yeah,
like
I think. Yep. I will be using paints. I will be using paint thinner. That will happen.
And it is sprinkled inside, yeah.
Does it work?
Yep.
Sprinkles it.
Yeah, everything's been functional. Yep.
Good.
Yeah. I mean, we
haven't
tested it.
Yet.
Nope. But
I hope you don't.
No, hopefully we don't. But no, we're getting on all the mechanical systems up and running right now. So that's obviously thing number one.
Usually when we've got like stumps and stuff like that with fire danger, we put a time limit on there. And I don't know.
Condition.
As a condition, yeah, they got to be gone in a year or so.
I would
because we've always put a time limit on that to make sure it's done.
It's fine.
Yeah. Well, I stumps.
Somebody put them off.
If we tell you to remove them, we don't put a time limit on it.
Go on forever. About 90 days or 6 months, or let's pick a number.
I'd say a year. I mean, that ought to be plenty of time to get rid of them. I mean,
we're going to do our best.
I'm trying to be fair.
It's going to cost us a bunch of money.
Does the rest of the board agree with a year?
I think it's generous.
They could be generous. That's right.
Have you been up to the Botanical Gardens?
In Boothbay?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
See the trolls up there?
Oh, yeah.
We could make some trolls up
there. Definitely. Could do.
Maybe.
1 year sounds good.
1 year.
1 year of this fire training.
Oh, my gosh. I know. I have a good friend of mine who's a fire chief up in my hometown, Castine. I could talk to him about coming down and burning him.
Somehow I'm thinking that you better talk to the fire chief over here first.
So, with that one condition, I'll agree that I'll make a motion that the meet number 5 will not result in fire danger.
Second that.
Any more discussion?
Just that, the sprinkler system, does the fire department typically check that out?
When they get their permits, they will have
inspected. Because usually we have something from the fire department on, that says that there's no danger. We don't have anything like that here.
Well, that wasn't part of the requirements. I think when we get our, when we go to, with the, what's it called? Yeah, the occupancy permit.
Yeah.
No, and then the architects will work with the fire chief and probably the state inspector and all that. Mm-hmm. They'll be involved at that point.
It would probably be better if you got the fire chief over there, whoever respects it, to look at it before you did the work.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we're not, Caleb's working on that right now, getting proposals and stuff. So, we'll follow the rules, whatever.
I don't want to burn it down before it gets assessed.
Definitely not.
At a higher value.
So, Cecile, you good with that?
Yeah.
Okay, we had a motion and a second. All in favor of the meet number 5 will not result in fire danger?
Aye.
Okay, 6. Will not result in flood hazards or flood damage, drainage problems, ground or surface water contamination, or soil erosion?
You're not doing anything in there that would generate a lot of wastewater, are you?
No.
I mean, from your art, from your...
No. I don't even think there's a shower in there. No.
I mean, none of your projects would require a lot of wastewater. You're not touching something with, high pressure water or something.
If we were doing anything, we would apply for the, we would, make sure that we follow through and have all the environmental stuff done. And, no plan right now. I'd like to be able to go to the bathroom when I'm there.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
That's a necessity. But how do you dispose of your solvents?
You just have to put them in different containers, and then like the paint stores take back paints and stuff like that,
While you're doing that, you store them inside the building?
Yes, you do. Yep, you want to have them in a temperature controlled space.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments?
We're not doing anything outside, so, I don't see any ground or surface water contamination.
No.
Make a motion that they meet number 6.
Second.
Any more discussion on number 6? All in favor of the applicant meets number 6?
Aye.
7. Will not create a safety hazard because of inadequate access to the site or buildings for emergency vehicles. Again, that's a big entrance right there. You used to take school buses. Yeah.
Say met the requirements for a school zone, school use.
Mm-hmm. I'll make a motion the applicant meets number 7.
Second.
Any more discussion on 7? All in favor of the applicant meets it?
Aye.
8. Has proposed exterior lighting which will not create hazards to motorists traveling on adjacent public streets, is adequate for the safety of occupants and use of the site, will not damage the value or diminish the usability of adjacent properties. And again, she said she's not changing any lighting outside.
Well, they're adding some. Maybe have one light or something.
Four floodlights around
the building.
Sorry?
Yeah, four
floodlights around
the building. Yeah, showing it on her map that she
shows
on the website.
Yeah, this shows them all.
The lighting for the whole around it.
You can barely see them on, though.
Yeah, this is light shown here.
On each corner.
Double floodlight. Well, I have.
No, they're on each corner of the building. Shows them.
Yeah.
I move that the applicant has fulfilled requirement 8.
Second.
Is there any more discussion on requirement 8? All in favor of the applicant meets requirement 8?
Aye.
9, makes provisions for buffers and on-site landscaping which provide adequate protection to neighboring properties from detrimental features of development. The applicant shall provide a plan prepared by a registered landscape architect or other qualified professional approved by the planning board. And this is kind of non-applicable, this, because you don't plan to change anything outside, really, except for cleaning up your pile of stumps.
Yeah.
Make a motion that the applicant meets the requirements of number 9.
Second.
Is there any more discussion on number 9? All in favor the applicant meets it?
Aye. Aye.
10, makes provision for vehicle parking, loading and unloading, as well as vehicular and pedestrian circulation on the site, onto adjacent public streets, which would neither create hazards to safety nor impose significant burdens on public facilities. And I really think this probably saw more traffic as a school than we'll see now.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know what anybody else thinks.
No, there's no change.
Plenty of parking and good circulation.
I move the applicant to propose the requirement number 10.
Second.
Any more discussion on 10? All in favor of the applicant meets number 10?
Aye.
11, makes adequate provision for the disposal of wastewater and solid waste for prevention of ground or surface water contamination. And she has a report in there by Albert Frick that says they more than meet that. So I'm going to make a motion that the applicant meets number 11.
I'll second.
Any more discussion on 11? All in favor of the applicant meets it?
Aye.
Aye.
12, makes adequate provision to control erosion and sedimentation. And again, it's a flat lot, right, and they're not going to be doing any site work, really, except cleaning up a little bit. And I will make a motion the applicant meets number 12.
Second.
Any more discussion on 12? All in favor of the applicant meets 12?
Aye.
Aye.
13, makes adequate provisions to handle stormwater runoff and other drainage on site, and nothing's changing really. I'll make a motion the applicant meets number 13.
I'll second that.
Is there any more discussion on 13? All in favor of the applicant meets 13?
Aye.
14, provides for a water supply that meets the demands of the proposed use and meets the needs for fire protection purposes.
Have you checked out the well there to get water there?
I don't know that we've done, we haven't had done a well inspection, although we had Jim Gabu over to check out heating system, and he's trying to help us get it commissioned. But
is there water in there?
I don't know. I have no idea.
It's been off for 5 years.
Yeah, it's been off for a while.
It's been off for 5 years.
Like 60 gallons a minute.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Head Start used to have a fire extinguisher system set up there before. It was 50 gallons a minute.
You know, that makes you feel pretty good if you had your kids going there. If there was ever a fire, you know that they'd have enough water pressure to put it out.
I don't know. Can we rely on 5 year? I mean, when was that statistic determined? 5 years ago, with the 5 gallons a minute, 100 gallons a minute.
Gallons a minute. So when they drilled that well, there's five different wells there, and that's finally they got a good one. It's got 50 gallons a minute. And it says it on the top of the thing on there. I used to own it, so I know what it's.
Do we have any documentation of it?
Oh, do you own a place across the street there?
For Dave.
Okay, you sold it to Dave.
For Dave.
Okay, cool. Well. I mean,
that well that's 50 gallons a minute supplies the ball field for the irrigation. It does not go to the school.
It does not go to
the
school.
The school's got, it's either a 5 or 10 gallon per minute well. But it's separate from that. That 50 gallon one is just for the ball field.
But it must be adequate because they put the fire, there is the fire sprinkler system
right
already. So it must be adequate to take care of it.
Do we want to?
I think we should need to condition that.
Yeah, some sort of documentation and seal the suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
So just have it, get a study?
Mm-hmm.
Have it inspected?
Or just something that states what the water supply is for the
school.
For the school fire and the fire protection system.
Okay.
Right. We can put a condition on there that, know, that that's going to meet the requirement.
Okay.
So
probably
it shouldn't stop your process,
yeah,
but. No, unless
you
it's not adequate, then
yeah.
Okay, so we're going to put a condition that it meets adequate water supply for the school. Okay. 15. Makes adequate provision.
We have to vote on it.
So
we'll have to vote on it.
Yeah,
number 14.
Vote. Yep. Okay, number 14.
Make a motion that the applicant meets that subject to the condition that's stated for number 14.
With the substantiating documentation.
With substantiating documentation.
Second.
Any more discussion?
No.
All in favor of having that as condition?
Aye.
Aye.
15. Makes adequate provisions for the transportation, storage, disposal of hazardous substances and materials as defined by state and federal law, the storage of chemicals, explosives, or hazardous items as defined by the National Fire Protection Association Code 704, Class 3 or 4 materials are not permitted.
You're not using any?
Nope.
So when you use your solvents and stuff, how much of that are you going to keep on hand? I mean, I'm just curious.
I
mean, 50 gallons, 100 gallons?
Oh, no, I would.
3 gallons?
Yeah, I mean, probably south of 50 gallons, I would expect.
So 50 would be the max?
Well, I wouldn't know. I couldn't actually say that. I don't really know, like, if there's other artists in there and if there's stuff going on. But is that, like...
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that could be a concern.
I know most places, if you have... I think it's over 40 gallons. You have to have like a flammable cabinet
mm-hmm.
to
oh,
keep
that's
the
easy.
Stuff in.
I think we do
and
that.
Vent,
anyway.
And they vent them outside.
Yep, makes sense.
So the vent fumes don't build up.
Yep.
Right.
Right. Yep, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yep, probably the fire marshal would tell us like what they would want for like requirements around that kind of thing. If that was ever, if we were using it at that level.
Yeah, but when the fire marshal goes there, he won't know who you're going to rent to or what they're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a. He's going to go inspect it before you rent it out for
right.
the occupancy permits.
So what's your suggestion?
Well, I think that before any potential tenant is in, they have to, if they are going to potentially use any of those chemicals, come up with a developed plan for storage and safe disposal of it that meets the fire marshal's approval, and that is added to your lease. They will meet this
That's
criteria.
Fine. That makes sense to me. I've had other studios before that I've worked. I've had other studios that I've built and worked with fire marshal, state fire marshal before, and it's not a problem. They just tell us what they want us to do, and then we do it. I mean, the idea is to be safe.
Right.
Yeah, we're not trying to, you know, stockpile dangerous.
Simple welding torch, oxyacetylene. You break a valve off.
Yeah.
You can have a missile go off with a big explosion.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
You come by my garage?
Mm-hmm. Everything that you can have in a garage, right? Yep. It could be considered dangerous if it's not being like managed well. But they also have safeties. Like, I've used welding equipment for years. You know, there's backup valves and safety shutoffs and stuff like that.
Well, they got to have a fire chief inspection anyway before they get a permit. So,
yeah, occupancy, free drive. Mm-hmm.
So, I don't see we need a condition.
Right, well, I just wanted to bring it up.
No, I think it's a good point.
Right. Well, if you don't condition it, though, then we're saying it makes adequate provisions, but we don't have any documentation on the provisions.
Subject to, I'll make a motion that would, planning board put a condition on there, subject for number 15, subject to inspection and approval by the fire chief.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
For proposed tenants, each proposed tenant. 3 years down the road, you change the tenant. And you go from someone doing pottery and casting on a potting wheel to a welding artist, and they're running with different torches and they're running with different chemicals to etch and stuff. So I'd suggest with each tenant get approved.
I think he's going to get annoyed with us because some artists, I mean, I've done this before. I did it in Portland where it was very strict, and we just made sure that we met the standards as the organization, and then the tenants came in, and as long as they kept, you know, within the realm of what we've been, you know, we're just not as organized at this moment, because we're just gonna, you know.
Did you have a condition within your leases that required the tenant to safely maintain any potentially hazardous material?
I managed everything. Like, I basically was like, I had anything hazardous I was in charge of, and then tenants were just using spaces within it. It was a little different.
But this is going to be run similarly in the fact that, like, it's going to be treated like a community, so you can't just come in, do your thing, lock the door, and never show up. Like, you kind of have to keep it open. We're going to have, you know, when we do the shows, it's going to be people can walk through your studios. And so if there is something that's to be, you know, where you think this isn't safe, it'll be managed by the landlord, because I don't want people to be unsafe. You know? I don't want my place to burn down, frankly.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I think the fire chief might get a little, you know, overwhelmed if, like, if I had turnover and I was, like, stipulation of getting him in there or her in there, whomever. So,
are you expecting that big of a turnover? Or?
I hope not. I'm just, you know, again, thinking worst-case scenario.
Is there any more discussion on 15?
No. Are we going to condition
what's the,
that?
Yeah, what's the, what do you guys normally do here for professional offices? Like, do you have, if there was a building with a bunch of commercial professional offices, would every time you have a tenant come in, you would have a requirement to have an inspection with the fire chief?
No.
No. I don't think we have that case, do we? Usually
every application is different.
Yeah.
Yours is an art studio. If you use the paint thinner or paint cleaner, it is explosive. Mm-hmm. It is dangerous for a fire. Where a lawyer's office, they probably have a copy machine. And,
right.
You know, I mean,
they may have a
dental office.
A big difference.
Right.
Or doctor's office or whatever.
Right. Yeah. No, I'm just trying to get a baseline, like, okay, what are we thinking about? Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, maybe the fire chief will tell you you can have up to X amount of gallons, but you have to have a vented fire cabinet. I don't know what he's going to tell you.
Yeah. Yep.
But I do know there's a limit on it.
Yeah.
The state of Maine.
Well, we'll get all that worked out with him or her, and then we'll make sure
you get someone in there. And I'm just throwing a bunch of stuff out there. Standard cleaning supplies. An artist happens to be using concentrated alcohol or concentrated bleach.
Mm-hmm.
There's a spill and it rolls underneath into a storage cabinet where you've got concentrated ammonia stored.
Mm-hmm.
You have potential to kill everyone in the building. You do something with metal and using MEK. They wipe it up with a rag and toss it into the garbage pail. Mm-hmm. Spontaneous combustion. So there's got to be, have them working in trades. And you know the same thing I'm talking about. You've got to have procedures in place to say, we're going to potentially use this. This is how we're going to dispose of it. Then this is how we're going to use it. You're going to have your MSDS sheets and everything else involved with that.
Yeah. So I'm very familiar.
Yeah.
We're planning to be compliant with all that. I just don't know how frequently we would want.
I would say have it noted in your leases that all your clients are going to, or all your tenants are going to comply with all federal, state, and regulatory mandates.
Absolutely.
I think we're overreaching here. My opinion is that we just... I make a motion that we condition approval on number 15 to an inspection by the fire... Inspection and approval of the uses by the fire chief. And
yes,
we have to go from there. If the applicant then decides to do something crazy and change it and doesn't get the fire chief involved and the place blows up, I guess that's on the applicant. We can't...
Okay.
Well,
can
I just add that, can we have a statement from, could we have some documentation from the fire department when you do have this inspection?
You will. Yeah. Well,
that we can put into this document, because we're assuming that there's going to be, you know, some documentation.
Yeah,
on
there
that,
will be.
Just
yeah.
not a...
Yeah, we'll have the state fire marshal involved, you know, I think, typically when you're... You know,
we usually have a statement from the fire department.
Yeah, we have the best.
Yeah. So, you know, we can condition it. So when you get it, then you just make sure that we get it.
Okay.
So we can add it to the...
So you want subject to inspection approval by the fire chief,
fire
department.
Mm-hmm.
And we want documentation from them for the record.
Mm-hmm.
With documents.
So...
Second.
I seconded mine. No, that was another motion. I second your second.
Okay.
Okay, is there any more discussion on 15? All in favor of the applicant will meet number 15?
Aye.
Okay.
16, will not have an adverse impact on a significant scenic vistas or on a significant wildlife habitat, which could be avoided by reasonable modification of the plan.
Now, in my opinion, I haven't noticed any significant scenic vistas or wildlife, significant wildlife habitat on that property. Maybe there's some there that I've missed, but I make a motion that that this project meets the requirements of number 16.
Second.
Mm-hmm. Any more discussion on 16? All in favor of the applicant meets number 16?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay, so what do we got for conditions? Just two?
No, we got 1 year to get rid of the stumps.
Stumps 1 year.
24 events a year.
That's right.
We need a condition for the water to make sure she has an adequate water supply for that.
Yes. School.
Water supply.
Yep, for number 14. Mm-hmm. And it's subject to inspection and approval by the fire chief with documentation for the flammable liquids.
Mm-hmm.
Hazardous materials.
Hazardous materials, okay.
We want documentation for the water supply too.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It was just those three? Is that three? Is that four? What was
nope,
first one?
There's four. There's 24 events a year. That's one condition.
Oh yeah, that's right. We're
not on the events.
There's four, yep. Four conditions.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so.
1, 2, 3, 4.
All right.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. I got it.
Okay, so we got you got to write a notice.
Notice of decision.
Notice of decision.
Okay, well, we have to make a motion and vote first.
Well, I'm sorry. But no, but I'm saying we will have to write one.
Okay. Well, I'm going to make a motion. We grant the applicant the application with these four conditions on it.
Second.
Is there any discussion?
Good.
All in favor of granting the application?
Aye.
Aye. So we should have a written opinion for you within a week.
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute, not so fast. Let's go ahead.
Wait a minute.
This guy, time frame.
Yeah, we got... okay. Okay, we got to write out a notice of decision. Site plan review approval must be recorded at the York County Registry of Deeds within 15 days. I'm not sure of the expiration date of the appeal period. That's only 45 days. Bottom line is we have to create a notice of decision, and then we have to sign it off. Mm-hmm. Sign it. And then it's got to get recorded. And I guess... We have to, the town, it says the town of Lyme and staff, I'm looking around for that, shall record in the registry of deeds all site plan review approvals which are approved or denied at the applicant's expense for recording. You've already provided, I think, a fee.
Yeah.
That presumably covers that. Mm-hmm. So I'll take a stab at the notice of the decision. I have a sample from the last ones.
Okay.
I'll send it out. Not to do business by email, which of course we cannot do. But to get administrative review by other planning board members.
Which is
that sound permissible to the planning board.
We need to do that. We don't have an admin.
And then that's the case. That I guess you'd have to sign it.
Yeah, either be a Cecile.
Be a Cecile. Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, that maybe you were Cecile.
Sir?
I said maybe you were Cecile. We have elections.
Yeah. Well,
I don't see
okay, so that's what our process is, and hopefully we can meet that and get it done. We're not trying to hold you up. We want you to come and spend your money and improve the property.
Thank
and
you.
Get reassessed.
Plus the taxes. We forgot that part.
Right. taxes have been paid, and we are getting bids, and we're going to, you know, as soon as we can get our ducks in a row, we'll be working over there as long as... So basically, this is an allowable use, but now we're going to be, you know, taking it to the next level with applying for permits and all
that
stuff.
It's going to cost you a lot of money. I hope your business model is successful.
Me too. This is more of a passion project for us. Our other businesses are doing well, fortunately.
That's great.
But yeah, thank you.
We need to sign.
I know. We're excited. I'm talking it up.
Sign plot plans right here?
Nope.
No, that would be that would be
decision for this.
Yeah.
That would be after.
Right. Thank you. You have a great night.
Thanks. Thanks for coming.
Thank you so much.
Okay. We will have to sign that, right, at some point, won't we?
Yeah.
That plot plan? Yeah. That plan.
We will for our record, yes.
Yeah. And doesn't that go to the Registry of Deeds? Doesn't that go, the plot plan?
I think so.
I think it does.
Good.
All right, go on. I'll take a stab at this.
Mrs. Volia, you'd like to come down here?
There he is. I guess I got the message. Did your mother talk to you?
Yeah. Yeah, no, she relayed the message.
Right. Your mother's name is Linda, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's very nice lady on the phone.
Yeah, she helps me out a lot. She keeps me straight.
We're going to need that.
And you were looking to put in stump processing?
Well, we want an area to make our bark mulch. We're making bark mulch now and wood chips, playground chips, all natural chips people are using in their gardens for different compost reasons, and erosion control. Everybody's having more and more trouble getting rid of stumps now, as you just heard with the prior applicant. So we're taking stumps in. We're doing it on our property at Biddeford now, but it's just not big enough. We need more room. So we ended up buying this gravel pit. We bought 97 acres over here. And we're going to reclaim all this material that they hauled in from the Biddeford Crossing project.
Yep.
We're going to get rid of all that. I forgot to bring it with me.
Is this Picard's old pit?
Correct.
Okay.
We have permit in hand now from the DOT to clear the whole edge of Route 111, remove all that material, and we're planting a buffer with trees. So there's no more hill along 111.
Okay.
People are going to be able to see down in, so we can, when we make our red mulch, brown mulch, black mulch, people will be able to see it. So we're going to dress up the whole side of Route 111.
Whereabouts exactly on 111?
You know where the Dryden Auto Body is?
Yeah.
The new building?
Yeah.
So we have the property that goes the whole right side of it, all the way around it, back to 111, all the way to Biddeford, to the Spain.
Isn't there a stream that runs through that? Or you?
Yeah, it goes out back. You can see the stream in this plan. So we've done, this has been going on since, I think, the first week of March, dealing with DOT and the DEP. The DEP had strict rules. We have to follow, like, full-blown recycling yard ruling, even though we're not taking demo, we're not taking any of that. This is strictly just trees. Yeah, so no construction debris whatsoever.
You know, some of that stuff, tripping in some of
the biomass. We need an area to haul logs in, stockpile logs, places that my trucks can pump wood chips off from job sites that we've done, and just more or less kind of like a little satellite yard. Then we can reload our tractor trailers from here and go to the different mills and move stuff. We're out of room in Biddeford where we are.
Is that building existing, or is that one you're going to build?
That's existing. That's the body shop.
Oh, the body shop. Oh, okay. I know where we are now. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Can you walk out of Joe's house, go up the road, 1,000 yards, take a left.
So you'll see on that plan, there's a 500-foot line that we have to keep any of our products out, like the black mulch, the red mulch.
Yep.
The DEP is making us stay 500 feet from the well at the body shop. That's the closest well to anything that we have.
And that's uphill.
Correct.
That's right.
And then for the stumps and the wood piles, we have to keep it in that 3-acre area down below.
Okay.
That's per DEP.
Huh.
Yeah, they're pretty strict on how we got to set it up.
It's like a good project.
There's a lot of cleanup. A lot of cleanup to do.
To move a lot of dirt.
There's a lot of dirt needs to be moved. Stuff needs to be regraded. it'll make us a real nice yard, but we're probably, I mean, from the day that we get the go-ahead, we're probably...
Are they making any, are they making you put any kind of berm in for the stream or anything like that?
We're not even coming anywhere close to the stream. There's already a pretty good-sized berm there now before the stream.
I haven't been down here for years, so I don't know.
From the level that we're going to, I think it's 242, I think it is, there's already a natural rise that comes up, and then it drops down into the berm where the brook is all the way around.
Yep.
So is that dotted line where the brook is?
Yeah, that double dotted line that goes all the way around, that's the brook.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's, I guess that's the boundary of the brook.
Okay.
Okay, gotcha.
Coming for a stream setback.
Yeah, because we're not using more than, I want to say, 7 acres total.
And how many acres total?
97.
Okay.
Okay, so I guess the first thing we've got to do is make sure we've got a complete application. Mm-hmm.
And there's a little office. I don't know if you noticed that on the plan.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, we got to put a little office in. There's just a toilet and a sink is all that's going to be in there, and just an open room.
And 3 parking spaces?
Yeah. No, that's pretty much for my wife and my daughter, just as, you know, people are coming in, like we're going to accept stumps. Just so they can give them a slip so we can invoice the people and charge them for taking stumps.
And you're going to have to have a septic for that too, obviously.
Correct.
Was 30 by 16, the one you're proposing?
No, smaller than that.
Is it?
16 by 24. Yeah. Just a little.
I saw the extra 6 feet out here.
Oh.
The post. They'd call it 30 feet.
Because
you got the porch. They go by your overhang.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So this is the whole plan. I think I gave one to Patty. One of the stamped versions.
Yep.
You can see the brook, and you basically you overlay it to this front piece, and we're only using that little front area.
Maybe.
Yeah. She had one of the stamped versions.
Yeah. So I got a checklist for
it. Oh, you did?
Yeah.
We probably have that. Hope we have it.
Me too.
Okay, so number one is a site plan drawn to scale, not smaller than 1 inch, equals 40 feet. We do have a site plan here. It does look like a new scale.
One inch equals 60.
Okay.
That's
too...
No way. Why do we have that in there?
Is the plane the wrong size?
No. It says 1 inch equals 60 feet. It says not smaller than 1 inch equals 40.
Not smaller than 1 inch equals 40 feet.
So wait a minute.
So that
doesn't... Well, it is smaller, isn't it?
It is smaller.
Yeah. One inch equals 60 feet. I'm not saying he has to get it redone, but he should have to wait it. I don't know. Somehow I'm thinking it's not the best thing in there, but it's in there, so we got to go back.
Yeah, we may need to revisit that, put conditions or slices.
Okay, so all the way down.
I can't imagine that'd be hard for him to change. It must be a click of a button on the computer.
I would think so.
I don't know. It's above my pay grade.
Well, but you're paying for it.
We'll go through this list, and nothing's to stop you from asking for a waiver.
Yep.
I mean... Okay, name and address of the applicant plus the name of the proposed development. You do have name and address in here. Okay, Total floor area, ground coverage, location of each proposed building, structure, or addition. That is on the plan.
One building.
Yep.
Parking.
The only thing I don't see there is septic system.
So that's because we got a quote for the well.
Yeah.
And we're revisiting the well. We're going to do a dug well, I think. We got a quote of $17,000 to drill a well over there because bedrock's so deep.
Yep.
And the water table's right there, so we're thinking we're just going to do a dug well. So we're going to move the septic over to the front now instead of it coming out the back.
Okay, but we're going to have to see that on the
plan. I'll have it put on the plan.
Okay, perimeter survey of the parcel made certified by a registered land surveyor, license made relating to reference points. Plan must show two, a magnetic north, a graphic scale, corners of the parcel, date of survey, and total acreage. You said you did have a stamp survey somewhere?
Yeah, I had given it to her already. Yeah, so you must have it in the list of stuff.
Hopefully it's in there.
I brought an extra one with me. This is my last one.
Your stamp survey?
Yeah. Patty had a copy of it with all these plans.
Okay, maybe in the file.
Right.
If you want to look at it. That's a stamped one. It says right on it, 97.
Yeah, we got a stamp on right there.
Yeah.
So.
She has
don't
a copy
lose
of that.
Us.
You hold on to that.
We'll look.
We'll check.
We'll have to
check.
And if we don't have it, you can make us a copy. I mean.
Plus, plus. Okay.
Just hold on to that.
Just hold on. Don't lose it.
The original file is. Let me check that.
Okay, I only got three. The DOT took one, and Patty took one, and this is my other one.
We'll go up. Number five is all existing proposed setback dimensions. And you do have the setbacks on the plan. I see them here. So we'll say that's good. Okay, the size, location, direction, intensity of illumination of all major outdoor lighting apparatus and signs. You're just going to put like a little outside light
there's
on your...
There's one little light that's going to be under the lean-to, that's it.
Okay.
There's no spotlights, no lights.
You can have signage?
Okay,
no,
yep.
No signage?
We did find your survey.
Oh, perfect.
We got it. It was in the file. I just taken it out and replaced it back in the file.
Seven, the type, size, and location of all incineration devices. Not going to burn any tires over there?
No, we're good.
Okay.
No, nothing like that.
Eight, the type, size, location of all machinery likely to generate appreciable noise at the lot line, as well as estimated decibel level at property lines. So you must be going to have some sort of a grinder in
I
there?
I got a horizontal grinder and an excavator. The horizontal grinder, to be completely honest with you, they were grinding at my shop this morning. My house is about 50 yards from it. You can't even hear it inside my house. It's literally a brand new horizontal grinder.
The horizontal grinder is going to be stationary, though, right?
It's on track. So we typically it's going to go into a big conveyor, and then it's an 80-foot conveyor that will stack all these piles. And the conveyor's on tracks also. So it's not like you're going to hear backup alarms all day long. It's pretty much sitting there. We feed it with the excavator, grind the piles up. It takes about 5 days' worth of work with the excavator to shear up stumps.
Right.
To give that grinder about 6 hours' worth of work.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, we can do about 4,000 yards a day easily.
Is
with
this
it.
One of those big round, just one?
Nope. Those are too dangerous. It throws stuff out of them. So, actually, I don't even think they make the tub grinders anymore. Horizontals, they just have a big wheel that pulls the stuff in with a big conveyor chain, and wow. It goes under the wheel. And after it disappears under that wheel, it's in the mill. Nothing flies out of it. And they're a lot quieter. The old style. Everything would rattle and throw and dust. And
we need some kind of dust.
So I'm just thinking that maybe he could put a circumference on here that it's going to run in a circumference.
The
grinder has to stay in that 3-acre piece per DEP, that shaded area.
Yep.
The grinder has to stay in that area per DEP.
And maybe we should have a note on the plan that grinder has to stay in that area.
I think it says right on it, right? Wood processing area?
It does.
That's for the grinder itself.
Can we put that as a condition or something? Or
we could do that.
There's a note on the note on the plan itself.
Is it
the grinder would stay within that that zone? I think I would fill the
okay. Yeah. Because
documentation on your equipment should tell us the decibel level. Right.
Yeah, I think it depends on the material that you're grinding. If you're grinding a soft wood, it's going to be quieter. If you're grinding some hardwood, it'll be a little bit louder. It's definitely quieter than like a typical chipper you see behind like a Lucas street truck.
Yeah, right.
It's not as loud as that.
You said you had it running at your house the other day?
I did it today.
Yeah. And I can attest my kid brother is his neighbor.
Yeah.
He's never had a problem with the
We grind constantly over at my shop.
Yeah.
I've never had a neighbor even say anything. In Biddeford, we did 4,000 yards of mulch this year, and my neighbor is 80 feet from my property line, 60 feet from my property line. We ground, and he works from home. We did 4,000 yards, and he never even come out once.
Yeah.
So you should be able to take and look up online what the decibel level is for that machine.
Yeah.
And
the range based on soft to hardwood.
Yeah. Yeah. It just documented for us.
Give us some documentation.
Mm-hmm. It's just something that it asked for that we should have.
Yeah, the new machines with the DEF fluid that you have to use with them and everything, they have to have all these massive exhaust systems, and they're so much quieter. Even like the grapple skidders now, you can't even hear them. You hear the chains rattling on the tires. You don't even hear the engine. They're much, much quieter.
Okay, so for number 8, we're going to need a note on the plan, and you're going to get some documentation for the decibel level.
Correct.
Okay. Number 9, location, type, size of all existing proposed catch basins, storm drainage facilities, wetlands, streams, and watercourses, as well as all utilities, both above and below ground. So, building. Are you putting an underground service to your building? You go overhead.
Yeah. I mean, and that on the plan shows the well and septic rough locations.
It says approximate.
Yeah. Because we're having an issue with the body shop. They have 4 500-gallon propane tanks that are buried on our property.
Really?
They have like multiple, like tons of stuff on our property. So we're working back and forth and trying to sell them a little piece behind them. And if not, then they have to move all the stuff onto their land. So that's why it says approximate. We didn't want to stake it in there until we knew exactly.
See. But we're going to need something solid that's going to be.
Mm-hmm. I'll get some. He's going to have to figure out if he's buying.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to make this move along.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But you're gonna have to. Won't you have to change the plan then, if you sell them?
The only thing we would change is the back property line behind that building. It would.
Probably, but you still have to change the plan.
Yeah, a little bit.
Seems like it would be smarter to get all your changes and then change it once, not change it two or three times.
See, my I know. Yeah.
I mean, because you're paying for it.
Yeah.
Not that. I'm not trying to waste your money, but
to me, I don't care. We don't have to sell it. I mean, he can just move the stuff. And
when were those propane tanks installed?
When they got approvals to do that building?
I don't think they got approval. Well, he wouldn't get approval.
They wouldn't get approval for us. They just got approval for the project.
Yeah.
Everything else had to go through a code enforcement officer and some sort of inspection. That should have been inspected by a plumbing inspector or something. Yeah.
When I brought this property, there wasn't one property pin around that building. My surveyor, Jones Associates, put all the pins around that building. There wasn't one property pin.
I think were there pins when we
did? There were pins when we did, went over there, been surveyed.
Not one.
Maybe not one.
We just set them on.
Maybe somebody flew over the magnet.
I don't know.
Whatever. But
I don't know what happened.
Anyhow, but I'm just saying if you ought to resolve, my suggestion is not a requirement, but you ought to resolve it and then make the plan correct, do it once and not do it a couple of times.
Yeah, so we already have changes to the plan.
Yeah. You can figure out whether you want to change that dimension.
When we come back, if that back line's not changed, then it's, he's moving his stuff because I'm not having to hold me up.
Okay.
That's a conversation you need to have with him then.
Yeah.
Okay, number nine. So we're going to wait on that till you, number nine, till you.
Just that back line,
just
right?
Just the back
line.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
10. All existing contours and proposed finished grade elevations of the portions of the site which will be altered and the system of drainage proposed to be constructed. Contour intervals shall be specified by the planning board. I take it this is going to be internally drained.
Correct.
And you do have your elevations on here. You're going to have flat or as flat as you can get at 242.
Yeah, it's got like, I think, 2 inches of pit, 2 feet of pitch, I think, yeah, from front to back. Because we need to kind of keep it
right,
somewhat level because that 80-foot conveyor, as soon as you start
yep,
getting too
yeah,
in,
oh, yeah,
then.
Yep. So he meets number 10. 11, location, type, and size of all curbs, sidewalks, driveways, fences, retaining walls, parking space, area, etc., and layout thereof together with dimensions. Now, you got parking spaces up here, you got a paved area.
Three.
No, that's the other building.
Oh, that's yours. Okay. You
not have the dimensions of the parking spaces.
No, just a normal vehicle.
Just three parking spots here, okay. That's all you're going to put in the street parking spot?
That's it, yeah.
Because everybody's going to be coming through and
correct, going in,
up and leaving.
Dumping, like dumping their stumps or
yep,
dumping their brush, because we're going to take brush and trees for free.
Yep.
They'll just dump them, and if they grab something on the way out, we load them, and then they drive back out, they stop at the office, check out, and they leave.
Okay.
That's run? Why that's why in front of the office, you see we widened up the
I see that.
Opening, yep, just to make sure that there wouldn't be congestion and people could get by each other.
Not going to be selling by the ton or scales.
No,
like okay,
it's all by the yard.
Do we want dimensions on that, or are we okay?
Specifies dimensions of the parking lot, the parking spaces.
Yeah, sorry, whatever the typical size
we'll
is.
Just, yeah. I would suggest putting it on or.
Okay.
Yeah, it's right in the zoning book.
Yeah.
Got the size of the parking spots.
Mm-hmm. Is your traffic going in and out on the same road here?
Yeah. 111. Yeah.
But I mean the drive into your
correct
area where they're dropping off.
One way in, one way
one
out.
One way in, one way out. So
and that road
be
actually
wide enough for two vehicles.
That road coming in off 111 is 75 feet wide.
Mm-hmm. It's actually exists now. The road actually exists now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the old gravel pit entrance.
Yep.
And it's paved. Well, you could see that shaded area. Well,
I think it's
yours
paved
might be different.
60 feet or 50
yeah, it's
feet.
Paved quite a ways in
yeah,
already. And it's the apron is 75 feet and it tapers to, I want to say it was 45
we
feet.
We had it paved long enough that two 10-wheelers should be able to park end to end in there. That's what I.
Yeah, no, I think it's longer than that, to be honest.
That, well, that's what we asked for when they did the pit.
It was a while ago. It shows a width of 20 feet.
Right.
Yeah, it's wider than that.
For 40 by your office.
That might be just what the engineers
tapers
put
down
on it.
Yeah, it's 40 by the office it shows. And,
shows. Is it going to be like a turnaround or anything in there? Where they, how,
no,
how are they going to exit?
It just comes
yeah,
down into the open open yard down below, which is
going
to be all flat.
Okay.
Just
beautiful,
a big flat
just
open
back
area.
Yeah.
No turn and just drive
back.
Right
there.
Yeah, that's the mouth of it where you put it off 111. It's got a nice wide apron.
Oh, yeah, 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 I get you. That's good.
That's.
Yeah,
so, do we feel he meets number 11, or do we need it something?
So, to the parking space size being noted on the plan. So.
Parking space size on the plan?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So dimensions on the parking spaces.
Yeah.
Okay, so you already wrote that down,
yep,
parking spaces, okay. Number 12, all proposed landscaped areas, size and type of plant, material upon the premises. You're just hauling in stumps and trees.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah,
and you're showing your sites.
So we want to landscape the edge of the road. That's why we changed the
yep,
grading. We're planting trees, and we're going to use some of our own bark mulch and
yep,
decorate it and make it look nice.
Okay. So these storage piles shown here, are these the stumps and trees? Are these
the storage piles? They're going to be erosion control and then colored mulch.
Okay. And where are you going to store your stumps and stuff?
Has to be in this 3 acres.
Has to be in the 3 acres?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why he listed the wood processing area.
Yep.
And this is all stuff that DEP made us put it in these areas. Because of the brook, we're really limited on how we could set it up.
Yep.
They pretty much set it up for me.
Yep. So do we want to note, saying that in the 3 acre wood processing area, also the location of the stump grinder and in the 10,000 square foot pile finished product, so that there's no confusion that the storage would be unfinished.
Oh, okay, yep. I have no issues just locating, just noting that those 10,000 square foot piles are finished products.
Yeah, and you should just put something down there by your wood processing areas. Raw material storage is what I would put.
And stump grinding apparatus location.
Yeah.
Just so if anyone looks at it, they know that they're not stored. They're going to be passing by and seeing stumps along the side of the road.
Yeah, it's, no, we want it to look good, so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, number 13. All existing and proposed right-of-ways, easements, and other legal restrictions may affect the premises in question. So, everything's on there, like existing right-of-ways.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say that's good. And 14, property lines of all properties abutting the proposed development, including properties across the street or across the water body, together with the tax map, lot numbers, and property owners' names and mailing addresses on file at the town office within 10 days of the filing of the application.
That I have to get.
Okay.
And that has to be on here, too.
Yeah, and you need...
Oh, it has to be on this plan?
Yeah, you need whoever's across the street from 111.
Janess. It's that big gravel pit.
Mm-hmm. Just need that noted on the plan.
Okay.
And you already got this guy up here.
You need your butter off your lot.
Just need all your butters around the property.
So to be able to get them all on this, I'll actually have to make a much smaller plan for you.
Okay, we're going to require a plan with all the 93 acres.
Well...
Or the abutters to the side?
I think you can make a list of the abutters, and then you can make the mailing labels too. But I think if you made a list of the abutters for this file, we'd be satisfied.
I guess I would a copy of the tax map with all the names of the abutters printed on that suffice?
As a separate document?
As a separate document. Because like I said, if you start asking him to do that...
Well, that's going to... Get shrunk down, and
That'd
be so huge.
I wonder if it's on this plan. I wonder if it's on the real survey. I didn't even look at that.
I know we've accepted.
Oh, so it's on this one.
It is on that.
It's all on this one, all the way around.
Okay. Well, if it's on that one, well, we still need the list.
The labels.
The mailing addresses and all that.
Okay.
The labels.
So I can use this list and just go around and go.
Yep.
Make sure it's correct enough.
Make sure it's right.
Yes.
Okay.
Because, no, I'm serious. Because we have to have notified in writing by certified mail all the abutters. And if we miss it, abutters are being missed.
So how do I correct these? I got to come here to the tax assessor and see who's this...
Yeah.
Make sure it hasn't been sold in the last.
If someone says they're in a butter and a legitimate butter and they weren't notified, then that's a problem.
Okay.
We did send them a certified letter. You know, trying to that would
prevent delays.
Yeah, because there's one.
I'm sure there's several.
Six. I'll get that list.
Yeah. Okay, number 15 is appropriate box for each page of plans and signature. We have that. The documentation of right title.
You need a copy of the deed.
Need a copy of the deed for the file.
Yep. It's the original. Okay, well, we're getting it. Mm-hmm. Okay,
17. An on-site soils investigation report by a Maine State licensed site evaluator. The report shall identify the type of soil, location of test pits, proposed location, design for subsurface disposal system. You're going to have to get that anyway if you put a bathroom in your building.
For the septic.
You're going to have that's for your septic system.
Yeah.
That's what this is for.
So I can get that right off. I'll have it done. I mean, it's a gravel pit. Pretty much passes any way you ever want to dream about putting it.
Yep. We just need a copy for the file.
Okay.
Okay, 18. The type of any raw, finished, or waste materials to be stored inside or outside of roof buildings, including the physical and chemical properties, if appropriate. All you're going to have is wood there.
Exactly.
So are we good with this? He's got his file showing.
Yeah.
He's going to fix that to include material storage in the wood processing area.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 19, traffic data. The planning board may require that the application include a traffic engineering study should the project exceed one of substantial magnitude along any of the town's state highways.
I already have that.
You have a traffic study?
I forgot to bring the paperwork with me. I have all the DEP approvals. I got the permit and everything.
Yep.
Yep.
DEP or DOT? DOT, sorry.
We should see a copy of that.
Yep, we'll need a copy for the file.
I wanted to bring it with me, and I forgot. No.
Well, you should make a copy and keep a copy for yourself.
Keep the original.
Yeah, and they, because I had to approach them because of the front property line to get rid of the rest of that banking in between the road and us. So it was kind of an act of Congress, but everything's fine now. We got our permit.
As long as you got documentation.
Yep.
Okay, number 20. Any other information or data the planning board determines is necessary to demonstrate compliance with the town, state, and federal regulations? Is that we're good? So,
are you going to be storing any type of chemicals, lubricants, equipment for the maintenance of your grinder? You're not going to have
a nothing there. Everything's at my shop.
Okay.
We go down with a service truck, we grease it, lube it, change the oil, fuel it, and the service truck comes back to my shop. My shop's in Arundel.
Put in a concrete pad or anything for your grinder?
Nope.
Okay.
So I know the application isn't quite complete, but it's quite a stretch till we can do a site walk, a public hearing. I mean, we want to just set them up for the next meeting and then
come back to the next meeting.
Make sure the application is complete.
Mm-hmm. You've done an awful lot, but you're not quite there yet.
Yeah. No, I can work on this.
Put you on the agenda for the next meeting.
Okay.
Which would be the first Wednesday in August.
Yeah, remember we got
August 3rd.
We have a public hearing for the cell tower.
Right.
Plus,
yep.
Plus the review of that project.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But if you have all your materials, all we're going to do is make sure the application's complete, vote on it's complete, then we've got to set a site walk.
Okay.
So you might have to sit here for 40 minutes to an hour before you
get
to speak.
Depending on who wants to talk.
Well, that's fine. Could be sitting with worse people.
And we could, once we go to the formal meeting, put your first on the agenda. So
we could do that, too.
Yeah, we'll have EDO that would
Well, it doesn't have to.
We can put Jason on first.
The agenda is subject to change.
Okay, so.
The
date is not going to be on.
Wednesday, August 3rd.
So we got an Evo.
We already got, we have some other, well, we may have some other. But anyway, this would be the next project after Evo.
Because this is all pretty simple to get. The worst part's the mailing list.
We don't need to talk about that right now. That's on you.
So what we'll do is we'll put you on to follow Evo. I don't know how long they're going to be, but I'm going to say, well, they're just going to put you on to immediately follow the public hearing.
Yeah, that's fine. That's
good. But at least be here by 6:45, 7:10.
Yep. No, we'll be here. I'm usually early anyway.
Okay.
But we're starting at 6:45 for that public hearing, right? Sort of.
Yeah.
Just
6:30, I thought.
6:30.
Well, we haven't set, but. Oh, wait a minute. Not so fast. We already put out the notice. I think it's on.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
Expectation.
Now, 6:45.
6:45 is what I have on my notes.
6:45. I mean, that's what
short here,
that's what the publisher.
That's what
we can't
doing.
Change it.
No, you know. We've got to do
it. Okay.
We don't know what we'll get for a turnout. There's nobody really to site on. So I don't know what's going to happen at the meeting.
We'll see.
But yeah, if you can get all that stuff, we'll complete the application, then we'll move on.
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you, guys.
Yep, you have a great night.
Yeah.
Good night.
See you.
Good luck with the project.
Thank you.
Sounds very good, actually.
I know somebody that's got stumps.
Yeah. I was laughing back there because I've already quoted that same file for three different contractors. I've already looked at that.
Oh.
I think she'll give them to you.
Yeah. Well, the stumps we charge to take, the brush and the trees we take for free. Stumps are, you got to shear them, it's kind of an added expense, and there's dirt and rocks and wear and tear.
Yeah, and we had on the equipment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, now we get an election and review.
Yeah. Okay, requirements are to elect planning board officers for this year. This year we need to elect a chair, a vice chair, and a secretary.
I'd suggest that someone make a motion that we re-elect the officers, slate would be put, but the slate of existing officers.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, all I get to say is anybody else wants to step up and be chair, they're welcome to.
Or secretary.
You're
a lifer.
No.
Okay, is there any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Yes.
Yes.
I'll notify the select board by memo. That's okay.
Okay, now we got review and approve any changes to planning board bylaws, last revised 2/16/22 and planning board mission statement.
Yeah.
1.77.
The bylaws.
The mission statement first.
Mission statement, yeah.
Straightforward.
Pretty straightforward. It was last approved July 7th. You want me to read it?
Yep.
All right. Lyman Planning Board Mission Statement 2021. The Lyman Planning Board is entrusted with the task of promoting the health, safety, and general welfare of the residents of the town of Lyman. The board seeks to protect and conserve the rural, recreational, and historic value of properties, encourage the most appropriate use of land throughout the town of Lyman, and promote rational and environmentally sound economic development. Second paragraph. The board aims to balance the conservation of the beauty of our shared natural resources with residential development and commercial enterprise. The board applies the directives of the comprehensive plan in the town of in the town zoning and shoreland zoning ordinances as guidance towards the decision-making on behalf of the town of Lyman. Third paragraph. The board operates in the service of property owners of the town of Lyman, demonstrating respect for all those who appear before it and adhering to the principles of impartiality, integrity, and professionalism. Dated July 7, 2021. Anybody have any changes? Anyone have any changes?
No.
I can't think of anything that would have changed.
I'll make a motion we accept it as written.
Second.
All in favor of accepting it as written?
Aye.
Aye. I'll send a copy to the select board, changing the date to today's date. Okay. And then the next thing is the bylaws. Which we actually revised those in February.
Yes.
February 16th, we added the table of consanguinity.
Yes.
And the attachments with the remote participation policy.
And bias.
Public hearing opening remarks. Planning board meeting opening remarks. I don't know of anything, unless saying, oh, there is one thing I will mention here. Under public hearings, item four, it says the board must publish notice, and this is from the, and it says, in quotes, newspaper of general circulation at least 10 days in advance. For example, Reporter, Portland Press Herald. Well, we have not been publishing anything in the Reporter. We've only been publishing in the Portland Press Herald. The Reporter doesn't, I mean, it doesn't get delivered anymore to homes. It used to be the Reporter came. I used to get one in the mail.
Yep.
I get them here at the town hall. So I don't, does anyone get one at home?
Nope.
No, we don't anymore. But is that, how do you define general circulation?
That's
availability.
It's available to everywhere.
Right out of the vestibule here and there it is.
Right, at the library, at the post office.
I mean, I don't know if you want to take that word, just take out the Reporter or not, or just leave it the way it is. Yeah. It is going in the Portland Press Herald. The only thing I would say is that, and I have a copy of the one that went in actually tonight. If I could, I have it in my bag. For the next public hearing, and it's this little notice in the classified section. It costs us like, it's going to cost, I think it's $85 or $90.
So if we're not doing it, it shouldn't be in there.
Well, we are, I mean.
No, I mean for the Reporter.
Oh, for the Reporter. I can take the word EG report, just say EG, Portland Press Herald. EG means example, for example.
Right.
So
why would we not use the Reporter, though? It seems to me all the other neighboring towns around us advertising the notices of their meetings and.
I wonder if they go. Was it, the only
Dayton
the,
and.
The only
Hollis
problem. That's the only thing I'm saying is that newspaper of general circulation, I believe, is in our zoning ordinance.
Right.
So that's what's pushing us to the Portland Press Herald, because it's not a big deal for this next public hearing. I figured out or sent a note to the lady up there and Portland Press Herald, and she's published it, the ad, but they're charging the town $80 or $90, whatever it is. And the only thing I'm pointing out is that, I can show you the thing, it's just a little thing, you know,
right,
that you don't even see because it's in the classified section, but it's a requirement in our zoning ordinance. So unless we change the zoning ordinance, we have to publish in a newspaper of general circulation. Right now, I think that's why we went to the Portland Press Herald, because that was the only one available.
Yeah, because the Journal's gone, the Courier's gone.
Right.
But there again, is general circulation a subscription
well,
to a newspaper? Because
that's
not general circulation.
The requirement that it should say subscription should go in the definition.
Right.
The way it's broadly worded here, the reporter still, I think, qualifies. I think it's at our discretion as to.
We don't need to change this now. I'm not saying we should, but I'm just pointing it out that possibly in the future we ought to maybe delete that requirement, only because I don't know that anybody reads a darn thing. It costs
eventually the full impress may fold anyway, so.
Well, I call it a half, we're not being recorded, I call it a half a paper. Mm-hmm. I get the Wall Street Journal and I get the Portland Press Herald. I don't get it on Mondays because they don't publish it on Mondays. But I get it the other days of the week, and I call it my half.
Which would be a problem for the 10-day requirement. They don't publish on Monday.
What you do is you do it ahead of time. And that's what you do. You do it ahead of time. They're very cooperative, but they charge you money. And I'm just saying it's probably a waste. But do we want to change this or not? If we don't, let's leave it. I would say leave it the way it is.
With the understanding that people go online to read the newspaper nowadays.
Yeah.
Right.
So, okay, so that's the only thing I noticed looking through it. If you want to change anything, I have this, like, to change it. But
it must be a widely circulated periodical or something to that.
Well, let's not do it now.
I'll make a motion to accept it as written.
Okay.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
I'll send a note to the select board of our wonderful decision here.
Okay, we have a pending site plan.
Evo, I think we're all set for Evo site towers and site services.
Mm-hmm. For the next meeting, we're going to have a public hearing.
Public hearing, it's been posted.
And we're going to put them on to follow Jason Bollier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And the other thing I will mention, just so you know, I took my copy of the application and I gave it to the front desk here with a sign-up sheet on it so people can look at it and review it if they want to. It's public information. And in the notice that we published, it says that it's available, documentation is available at the town hall, and also it's online. I had them send copies of their plans to us electronically, so that's posted on the town website. But previously, we've been saying by appointment with the CEO. In other words, you want to review the documentation. It seems actually it was this guy's recommendation from EBO. He said, "Well, a lot of towns just put a copy of the front desk with a sign-out sheet and the statement, 'Don't take out of town hall.' So if somebody wants to come in and look at it, they take the application and they can." They can look through it, but the plans themselves are currently on the town website. So that's all taken care of. And I just want to let you all know about it. I don't think it sounds like a reasonable thing to do,
yep.
Especially with the CEO situation. And I asked the gentleman there, Chris, if he wanted to come. He said no. He thinks he's going to be here for the next meeting when we have at the public hearing. So he's not, that's why he didn't show.
Okay. Do we have any minutes to sign? No?
No.
Okay. So we got old business. Discuss public input received for public hearing July 6, 2022 regarding proposed Lyman zone ordinance amendments and proposed zoning changes for Huff Road.
Yeah. That was interesting, frankly. The only thing I would say is that as far as Huff Road is concerned, mm-hmm. we got comments both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, we had comments that the existing businesses there do not want to go to residential. Mm-hmm. We had a person there who wanted to split their lot. It's a 10-acre lot. That's the one. Isn't that the one I'm thinking about?
Yes. Yes. Was that nine and a half? It was nine and a half.
They wanted to split their lot. And here's what I'm thinking, and just maybe we should do another public hearing on that, but before we do that, send a certified mail to the number of owners of property on that portion of Huff Road, because they're the ones who are being affected, mm-hmm. and either possibly put a survey in there or basically get their comments. Are they in favor or not?
Did we do this already for the public hearing?
No.
No.
They didn't get notice of the public hearing?
They did not get certified mail because it was a general public hearing to cover all proposed amendments. This was one of several amendments.
Oh, that's right. Okay. So we should have a separate public hearing.
That'd be my recommendation. Mm-hmm. But before we do that, it seems like it would be smart to draft up something that says, okay, here's what has been requested. The lady who requested it says she didn't want to cause any trouble for anybody else, but she's trying to split her lot. It was a sort of a comment made, well, I'll just go get a variance. Well, I've read the variance. That is not, you can go to a lawyer, but that goes to the Zoning Board of Appeals.
Yes.
And you have to show hardship
right.
for that. I think don't think that's
a hardship for the land. Yes.
Right, not well, a hardship well, of the individual. Right.
I don't think it's going anywhere.
Right.
But I can try to write up something that says some kind of a, I'm thinking of something simple that says, okay, here's what's been proposed, and ask them to give us a yes or a no or something.
If you change that to residential, wouldn't it affect the businesses on that road?
Well, that's it. Yeah.
They would be grandfathered, wouldn't they?
But what if somebody wanted to sell the business?
Right.
It doesn't seem quite right.
Yeah, it doesn't seem fair.
Right.
But then again, that's only a small section of that road that looks like this piece of pie has been taken out of the zoning and left in general where all the rest isn't residential. So
but maybe that was done because of the businesses that were there?
There's only two businesses in that section. And they
2 or 20. Could have changed everything.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're not going to solve it now. How about if I draft up something? You guys can take a look. I'll send it out. Again, it's not doing business. This is for your review only.
Right.
And we can decide what to do. But my current thought is we ought to try it as much as possible to get an input from every property owner. Yeah. I don't think there's more than 10, if there's that many. I got to look. It's not a very long section. I haven't looked, so I might be wrong, but I don't think it's more than 10. But anyhow.
It's on one side of.
But I think we should reach out to them because if we don't, we're going to end up, even if we have another public hearing, people say, oh, I didn't get the word, now you're changing it, and you're messing with my property.
This has happened before. People have bought property in this town, they changed the zoning ordinance.
No, that's not.
And they came back in, we ended up changing it back.
We got it for commercial residential.
That's right.
Remember that? We did
yes.
that? All that
for the bus
stuff.
Farm.
Oh, yep. God, that was yep. a mess with
for
it.
For a bus farm, too.
Oh, yeah. Well. Okay, so
there's a misunderstanding there as to exactly where the zone
right.
began and ended.
But it had changed, the zoning had changed.
That's right. I agree.
But is anyone okay with this?
I think we should
flush it out more.
But anyway, my thought is send that red certified mail to each owner there so they can't say they weren't notified. And if you get back, say there's 10 and we get back 8 that says, let's say, we don't want to change this. And I have a tough time pushing it forward.
Agreed.
If we got it the other way around, we get 8 that want to change it, then I would be more amenable to pushing it forward.
Right.
So that's what that comment was primarily for. And then there was something about medical marijuana. Remember the gentleman that was... Mm-hmm. And I didn't... We don't have any minutes from that, but we have to do some work on that.
Mm-hmm. And his comments about private roads, too.
Yeah, so we got some more work to do. I don't think you can solve that. We got some more work to do on that. I think we're going to need another public hearing at some stage.
Probably several. Potential changing of one section of zoning, we should try to look at the whole zoning map and go, how do we want to...
it's open.
And the problem is that the zoning change is affecting one party, one lot. I mean, it's not a zoning change that would... accommodate a population of the town that would want this, too. It's a right.
Yep.
Okay. The only other thing I would say is that on the we had the one change in there on contract zoning. The only discussion point there was the word beneficial use of the town, as I remember. And I feel that that particular change ought to go forward. In other words. We went through that. We got some discussion on use of the. We were going to add the sentence in there. It would be a beneficial use of the town in the contract zoning.
Maybe we should go in the other direction with that instead of the property would be beneficial to the town, that the contract would not be harmful to the town or a burden on the town. I mean, if it would require...
I think that's already... I mean, you don't do a contract unless it... I mean, mainly we're trying to get rid of this wording, but not limited to. Those four words, you've got to get out of there, I think.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But this is very similar to that. It's a very subjective term.
Okay. Well, all I can say is maybe put on the agenda for next meeting, but my personal feeling is that that's the one area we ought to push forward on. We ought to work on the Huff Road thing, and then we got to figure out what to do on the marijuana, whether we want to change any wording there or not. Because that one guy was saying, hey, you're off. You guys know what you're talking about. You're using the wrong...
And Mr. Tibbetts was also saying that if we were to go to the control...
He was saying it was the size of the canopy and all this, apparently he is a marijuana grower, which is his business, and he said that we had the wrong terms in there. That's as I remember it, right, Joe?
And he said that
doing the license, right?
Going to the state for guidance would be a little bit of... would be doubtful because, from his experience, the...
they don't answer you.
The consistency of the responses are not there.
Well, that's possible we get some help from our new code enforcement officer on that. I don't know. But
I thought that Patty had researched that, and that's why she made the changes. So I don't know how far back she did that.
I think so.
Well, usually it's just illegal. We didn't have to deal with it.
Yes. Yeah, I know. No. Anyway, the only reason I put it on here was I think we ought to carry it on is that let's just, I think we got November coming up here.
Yep.
We definitely, in my opinion, want to get the change of contract zoning on.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then the others, if we can, we can. If we get too much.
Why don't we concentrate on the contract zoning one first?
Yeah, and if we got the wording here, I think that's pretty good myself.
I think so.
And what was the suggestion in terms of changing of the phrasing for the benefit?
For which?
The word beneficial.
Yeah. How did we phrase it in such a way that it sounded like?
I got too much paper.
My apologies.
Okay, here. We added section 5 here. Well, first of all, on the contract zoning, we took out the first line, which was, is for land with an unusual nature or location, as being too subjective. Okay. And then when we left in the one that's consistent with the comprehensive plan, and then we, for the next item, we said it's consistent with, we took out the words, but not limited to, or existing uses, et cetera. The fourth one, which would be renumbered, that the conditions proposed are sufficient to meet the intent of the section. Okay. And then the one we added was, will have beneficial effects on the town as a whole, which would not result if the property were developed under the existing zoning district designation. So basically, it's subjective in a sense, puts in the words beneficial effect on the town as a whole. And the thought there was, if it wasn't going to help the town, why would we be doing it? Because what we're doing is, with contract zoning, we're allowing a use in one zone that normally would not be able to be done there, but we're changing it so that it is allowed in other zones. So this puts in something that says, hey, the thing has got to benefit the town, or why are we doing it? Right. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. People are saying beneficial is a subjective term. Well, I guess it is, but
that's a little problem.
Tax base
of
the property?
Okay, so we're all set to set the agenda for the next meeting?
Well, we got two more things here. I know. Okay. Are you all...
Susan and Dean Taylor.
Yes. I knew you were going to come. I knew, and I told you, though. Didn't I tell you? Okay, we had a request here from Susan and Dean Taylor, and they want to... What do you want to do?
We want to split off 3 acres on our 38-40-39-acre parcel on Avalon Lane.
Yeah. And you were concerned about road frontage
we were concerned about road frontage. Avalon Lane used to be a town road, but the town abandoned it, mm-hmm. and now we have a right-of-way to get to our 40 acres, and we want to try and take 3 acres off for my son to build.
Right, and you sent us a, I think I sent, didn't you guys all get
yes.
an email?
Yes, yeah. I got an email from you.
It had a plan in there that was...
The back lot.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the only thing I said was that we had a full agenda that... Mm. We would put
so
you on the agenda.
We're trying to make sure we can get on the next agenda.
Yeah.
So we'll put them on the next agenda.
Sure.
The surveyor, Stuart Davis, had been trying to contact the code enforcement officer, and she didn't respond, and then she left for weeks. So this has run on, and he had some questions to prepare
right.
for the meeting. He wouldn't have been able to make it if we were on the agenda this week.
Right.
He's planning to be on the agenda for next week, but without the answers to this, you know, in the zoning, I don't know if it was you that talked to Susan, I went
yeah.
through, and it looks like you would be allowed, and there's this circle that you have to, that's all in his plans, but the question is, you know, and the two people that own the right-of-way are agreeable to our son having a lot.
Right.
The first plan basically is using the right-of-way and giving him the first piece so he's not coming onto our property. But if more of a frontage was required, could we, our once you get off the right-of-way, our driveway is wider, but it's not an ideal way to break off the lot. So
yeah, and the question is about how wide, it's about how wide the road has to be, whether it's 50 feet. Didn't we do a sidewalk on one of these before? I remember you.
Probably for mm-hmm. Rob Weymouth and his garage, maybe.
Oh, I can't remember.
But the old town road easement wasn't 50 feet, and the current easement isn't either, but it's just perfectly good. I mean, we have trucks coming up there, and you know,
right.
it's a perfectly serviceable road. At one time, the property had thousands of feet of road frontage, but I'm not sure of the timing. Maybe it was after the fire. It was abandoned land, so they took the road out. And then a subsequent owner that built had to was just using that road. And then they said, wait, you're going through our land. And then a formal easement was made with those people.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a difficult situation.
I read the zoning, but I couldn't give them a definitive answer. I would suggest we go through it at the next meeting and try to understand it and see where we can go from there. Whether we have to go and do a site walk or something or not, I don't know. But I do remember, and I don't see any requirement to it, but somehow you want a formal answer so you know what to do, and that's, I understand what you're asking.
Right, we can't go any further, and my son's can't get a loan to build, interest rates are going
right.
up. It's like, can we try to, you know, so it's just bad timing, really, that
right.
the CEO
right.
didn't we'll have time to deal with it before she left.
Yeah, we'll put you on that. We'll put you on the agenda for the next meeting, and meanwhile, hopefully we can at least take a look at it. And we
okay.
have your email that you sent.
Right.
I think everyone's got that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that
okay.
has it. And try to understand what the requirements are.
Right, and if you can answer those questions, that would help, but mm-hmm. I know you may not be able to, but Stuart said he would, I think the next meeting is on the 3rd, is that
right?
Yes.
He said he would be available. He had another meeting than he had tonight, so he wouldn't have been available tonight, and then we can all sit down and figure it out.
And then, but remember, we do have a public hearing, which is for the cell tower, which will happen first, and that could be short, or it could be long.
Right, I understand.
And we can't control that.
Yep.
So
then if it's long and then you push people back to another meeting, is that what,
well,
that why is, because you guys quit at a certain, you stopped.
I like to get done by around 9 because I get up at 3:30 every morning
yeah,
to go to work.
That's
okay.
That's why we did, anyhow, we will do our best.
Okay.
We'll try to squeeze you in, we'll do our best, like Don
okay.
says, and.
Thank you
for your time.
But we will put you on for the next meeting.
I'm sorry, group. Could we refer the issue to legal counsel to get some opinion as to what maybe the appropriate thing to do on this?
I think we ought to take a look at it.
Yeah, I think we need to understand.
Review what?
We do have the resources.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you could always ask MMA.
I mean,
I think
we ought to at least take a look at it and then see if we can figure it out. Fine. If we can't, then yeah, we got to go get some help.
Okay.
Meanwhile, we may have a code enforcement officer right in, but it may be too soon to get an opinion
from the rules.
Okay. Would you mind if I refer it to K to 4 up in NNA?
I wouldn't mind.
No. The more knowledge, the better.
Okay. We'll have documentation.
We'll do our best for you.
All right. Thank you for coming.
And the meeting's on E3. You got homework. You'll be on there somewhere between 7:30 and.
Yeah, just don't come too early.
You can if you want to, but.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the good work you guys do. Thanks. We have one more person here, too.
Yep.
Bill is he has an alternate member application, and I was going to make a motion. I wanted to make a couple of comments.
That's what you asked for?
Oh, no. This is his application. But, Bill, I was going to make a motion to go into executive session to talk about personnel matters. That could include this, or it doesn't have to. In other words, let me put it properly. If you want to talk about this in executive session, we can. If you want it to be an open session, we can do that too.
Open session is fine.
But I want to go into executive session anyway at some stage here, because I have some information I want to discuss quickly, but I don't want to say it on the recorder. And it's about personnel issues.
Fine.
So, do you want to go through this first?
Yeah, we can go through that first.
Thanks for bringing this.
Yep.
I tried to get it from
from
Lindsay, but
yeah.
She was out today.
That was fine.
So I didn't want to hold you up. So I knew you were chomping at the bit.
Oh, yes.
Does anybody have any questions for Bill?
Why are you crazy enough to go on the planning board?
I think it's a combination of kind of what you talked about tonight with some of the people balancing the town regulations with the rights of the homeowners to make it work for both. And it's an interesting area to me. I figure as an alternate, it would give me a chance to learn it because it's not something you take off with right away.
Nope.
You know, there's a ton to it, and move forward, seeing as I have more free time now.
I was going to say, I think all of us, I speak for myself, after about 7 years to CEO.
Since 2015. Yeah.
We're still learning.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you learn every day.
Always evolving.
Absolutely, yeah. Yep.
Well, I was going to say, you got that. Watched you on the select board, but just for the record, you have no issues if the vote doesn't go your way, go with it. The follow the ordinance and the board spoke.
Well, I'm going to make a motion that would recommend Bill to be an alternate on the planning board.
That's right.
Selectman. Is there any more discussion on it? No? All in favor of making that recommendation to the selectman?
Aye.
Well, thank you. I look forward to learning with you.
You want these back?
No.
Okay.
No, you're welcome to keep them.
I'll stick one for an hour or something.
Yeah. Okay, well, good.
Okay.
All right. I hope you mind the facetious question. I hope you mind the facetious question, but I do see the irrigation photograph on. Is that you sitting on it?
It's my face.
Okay.
They put that on.
Those decals come from the manufacturer.
Okay.
And I just want. Years and years ago, I said to the guy that does those trailers for me, I said, I want my face on there. So he told me how to take the pictures. I got them all ready for him, and he put it together.
That's funny.
Okay, so Don, you want to go into executive session?
Yeah, I did. I'm going to put my
letter.
Well, thank you.
Okay. Well, we have a meeting on E3. We'll see what happens with Slutman. And
I will be here.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Have a great night.
We'll make the recommendation. I'll send a memo.
Yep. Awesome. Thank you.
Good. Would you mind pulling the door there when you go out?
Sure.
Thank you. Make a motion to go into executive session in accordance with discuss personnel matters.
Second.
Cecile, second. All in favor, go to executive session.
Aye.
Okay, so the only thing I want to make.
So for the next meeting at 8:30, we have Evo for a public hearing at 6:45.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Then we're going to have Jason Bollier on immediately following that meeting. Then we'll put Evo on following Jason Bollier. And then we'll do the back walk and see what we can come up with. I'll look the ordinance over. Everybody can look it over and see what we think. And
please note for the record that no votes were taken or decisions were made in executive session. Oh, and also for, I'm going to send in, there's a form here. I got it from the treasurer for time cards.
Yep.
And I'll make one up. It's like this. I just made a copy of mine. It's just a simple little spreadsheet.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I'll make one up, and the treasurer will take anything. She doesn't care. She said she didn't, would bother us. But I wrote down everyone's appointment number. I'll make up a form. And have it for.
We'll let her know we voted ourselves a raise.
Yeah. Anyway, she.
So we need.
Unionize.
What we need to do. No, I don't know. What time did we start? Ted, did we start at 6:45?
Yep.
So we've been. So we'd need to coordinate on the time that we spend at each meeting.
Right.
And John, you should get paid for all the time you're. At
that's
the,
what I
you,
yeah.
You should submit hours for doing that.
I may do that.
You should.
Yes, absolutely.
Make sure it doesn't conflict with your Social Security.
All right, so if we're good, I'll make a motion. We adjourn the meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Yeah.